పన్నగశయన కలి అవతారా.
ద ఫస్ట్ వర్డ్ ఇస్ పన్నగ విచ్ మీన్స్ స్నేక్. ద సెకండ్ వర్డ్ ఇస్ శయన విచ్ మీన్స్ టు రిక్లైన్ ఆన్. When Baba was born on November 23, 1926, his grandmother placed the baby on a mat covered with a thick bedspread in a corner of the room. Suddenly, the woman observed the bedspread rising up and falling down on either side of the baby, and when they lifted the baby and the mat, they found a serpent coiled beneath. This was in fact the very first miracle and the Satya Sai Avatar's life. The Lord revealing that He is indeed Vishnu, the one who reclines on the celestial snake Adishesha. Now, what is the significance of the Lord lying on a serpent? The serpent is indeed one of the most dangerous reptiles and sometimes can even strike unprovoked. But why is the serpent associated with the Lord? The serpent, in fact, is symbolic of our senses. Senses which are extremely powerful and can drive an individual crazy in this world. But the Lord is one who is the master of these senses. In front of the Lord, the senses become powerless. They in fact become servants of the Lord. The serpent is also used to represent our Kundalini Shakti, the tremendous inherent spiritual power packed within one's being, which can be aroused through intense spiritual practices. And when utilized properly, this can lead us to divinity and divine bliss. The snake, therefore, is very symbolic and is associated with Lord Shiva. There is a snake round his neck. Lord Ganesha has a snake as his belt and so on. Therefore, in the imagery of the divine, the snake is very much a part, and therefore it is not surprising to have a snake associated with Lord Sai Shiva too. Moving on, the third word is Kali, referring to the Kali age. Every era or span of time is called Yuga. Explaining the concept of Yuga during the summer course of 1978, Baba said, the great sages in ancient India divided time into four Yugas called Krita Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Trita Yuga and Kali Yuga. According to them, 4,32,000 years is the basic unit of time, and that represents the number of years in a Kali Yuga. Two times this, that is 8,64,000 years, represent the Dwapara Yuga. Three times Kali Yuga is the measure of Treta Yuga, and four times Kali Yuga is the count of years for Krita Yuga. And by adding all these, we get this astronomical number, 43,20,000 years, and that the sages referred to as a Mahayuga, and they said after a Mahayuga, Krita Yuga will start again. While this might be how they put some numbers to these yugas, Baba in his Dharma Vahini gives another interpretation. He says the yugas are classified on the basis of the dominant mental role. In the age of truth or Krita Yuga, it is said that dharma or righteousness walked about on four legs. It was happy and safe. In the second age or Trita Yuga, dharma had only three legs, while in the third age, in the Dwapara Yuga, it had to totter about on just two. And in the present Kali age, righteousness has only one leg. This is according to one tradition. And the four legs of dharma are truth, compassion, austerity and giving, satya, daya, tapas and dana. And Baba went on to add, so if a person has all these four, he can be said to be in the Krita Yuga, in the golden age. It does not matter whatever the age in the calendar. Similarly, if truth and compassion are absent in one's personality, but tapas and dana, austerity and the habit of giving persist, one is in the Dwapara Yuga. If only giving remains out of the four, it is as if dharma is standing on one leg. The person who observes this habit of giving, in spite of everything else having disappeared from his personality, if this nature of giving persists, he is in the Kali Yuga, even if it is chronologically the Krita Yuga. And Baba goes on to explain, the yugas change only with the change in dharma, not with the mere passage of time. The wicked Hiranyakashipu and the pure-hearted Prahlada, both of them lived in the same chronological yuga. In the same yuga, again, you had Dharmaja, the personification of righteousness and peace, as well as epitome of wickedness, Duryodhana. So Dharma is what makes the yuga for each. Baba explained, one can be in the golden age, in the Krita Yuga, if only one has all the four qualities of Dharma. That is, if one has truth, compassion, austerity and giving, one is in the golden age. The conduct of man makes and mars history and changes the golden age to the iron age or Kali Yuga. Or vice versa, you can change the Kali Yuga into Krita Yuga, the golden age, only by changing our conduct. The last word in this line is avatara, meaning incarnation of God in human form. Why does the Supreme Lord descend in human form? Why does he take an avatar? It is for the sole purpose of elevating humanity to divine heights. So in this line, Pannaga Shayana Kali Avatara, we adore the Lord who rests on the divine serpent Adishesha, the master of our senses, the one who came down to earth in a human form to redeem humanity. Let's move on to the second line.
Narayana Hari Om.
The first word here is Narayana, referring to Lord Vishnu, the second in the Holy Trinity of Gods according to ancient Indian culture and spirituality. Narayana is actually the conjunction of two words, Nara and Ayana. Nara in Sanskrit means water and Ayana refers to a resting place. So this means Narayana is one whose resting place is water or the ocean. In fact, Lord Vishnu, who is adored as the sustainer of this universe, is often depicted as the one reclining on the ocean of milk. But that is the superficial meaning of this term, Narayana. The word Nara can be further interpreted as Na-Ra. Ra means to perish and Na means no. So Nara means that which does not perish. And this refers to the jivatmas or the living entities or the individual souls, because the soul never dies, it only moves on. So in this sense, Narayana means whose ayana or whose resting place is in all naras or living entities. To put it differently, Narayana is one who abides in every being. He is the all-pervasive Lord. The Vedas declare, Antar bahischa tat sarvam vyapya Narayana sthitaha. That is, Narayana is present inside, outside, everywhere. The second word is Hari, which is another name of Lord Narayana. Baba says that Hari means the remover or destroyer, since he destroys hurdles on the path to sadhana. The third word is Om, referring to the primordial sound from which entire cosmos emerged. Baba says Om is verily the name of God. He says the basis for the acceptance of God as the eternal being is his indestructibility. Aksharatva or indestructibility is the form of God, and for this indestructible God, Om is the name. Therefore in this line, Narayana Hari Om, we bow before the Supreme Lord who resides in all beings. He is the one who eliminates hurdles on our spiritual path and is also the indestructible primordial one. Let's move on to the third line.
Paramaniranjana Nirajanayana.
Here the first word is Parama, meaning highest or supreme. The second word is Niranjana, meaning blemishless, coming from Nir, meaning no, and Anjana, which means blemish. So Niranjana means one who is blemishless. The third word is Niraja, which can be split as Nira, meaning water, and Ja means to be born. So this refers to that which is born in water, and generally this word is associated with the lotus flower which germinates and blossoms in water. Nayana means eye. So Neerajanayana refers to the Lord whose eyes are like the lotus flower. Now why is the Lord described as lotus-eyed? Baba says that the lotus which is born in mud and stays deep down in mud comes up to the light but cannot stay without water because it would die if there is no water. However, it does not get mixed up with the mud or water. Even if water comes onto the lotus flower, it just rolls off. That is why God is always described as having lotus eyes, lotus feet and so on. Whenever God incarnates in human form, He too is born in this world and lives in this world. He acts and moves like any of us, but He is ever blissful. He is not affected in the least by the environment that He is in, just like the lotus that is born and grows in the slush but is unattached to it. So that is the inner meaning of the phrase Neerajanayana. So in this line, Paramaniranjana Neerajanayana, we hail the Lord as the Supreme One who is absolutely, spotlessly clean, blemishless. He is the lotus-eyed Lord who is ever blissful, unaffected, unattached to the world in which He takes a human form as an avatar. Let's move on to the next line.
Saishwaraya Hari Om.
Here the first word is Saishwaraya, coming from Sai and Ishwara. Sa in Sai stands for divine and I means mother. So literally, Sai means the divine mother. But that, however, is one of the many splendid meanings of this sacred sound, Sai. In one discourse delivered on February 26, 1961, Swami explained that Sai signifies Sahasra Padma or a thousand lotuses and Sakshatkara, which means realization. So Sai is the one who represents a thousand lotuses, and that is what is referred to as the culmination point of the Kundalini Shakti, the Sahasrara Chakra, the final ultimate bliss that one experiences in one's spiritual sadhana. Sai represents that ultimate goal of all spiritual efforts. And Ishwara means Lord. So that is Sai Ishwara. And the other two words here are Hari and Om, which we already discussed. Let's delve a little more into the meaning of these words, Hari and Om. Hari also means one who is green in color because of the root word Hara, which means green. The inner meaning of adoring the Lord as the green complexion one is that the sight of green gives a feeling of peace to the mind. Similarly, the thought of Hari, the green-hued one, gives peace to the mind. Coming to the word Om, in his birthday discourse of 1966, Bhagwan explained Om as the sound of the movement of the stars in the firmament. It is the sound that manifested when the dawn of creative will stirred the Nirakara or the attributeless into activity, into creation. As a matter of fact, every little disturbance of equilibrium produces sound, however minute. The meeting of the eyelids, for example, results in sound, however faint it might be. There are infinitesimally faint sounds which no ear can hear. This whole universe is pervaded with sounds. When the elements originated and creation happened, the sound that was produced was Om. Om is that primeval one. There is a beautiful incident narrated by Brother Ravi Teja, an alumnus of Bhagwan's university, who has been blessed to play the flute as part of the music group on countless occasions in the Divine Presence in Prashanthi Nilayam. Once when it was time for the bhajans to begin, Swami was standing at the entrance of the bhajan hall and all the boys sincerely shut their eyes to chant Omkaram three times. Swami slowly bent over to Brother Ravi's ear and softly whispered, "Here is the very embodiment of Omkara standing in front of you, and what a shame all of you are shutting off your eyes on me and singing Omkaram." So that was quite a revelation. So in this line, Sai Swaraya Hari Om, we extol Lord Sai who confers on us peace, the embodiment of a thousand lotuses, the divine mother, the remover of all obstacles, the very embodiment of the primordial sound, Om. Let's move on to the fifth line.
Buddhi Pradayaka Papa Vinashaka.
The first word here is Buddhi, meaning discrimination. The second word is Pradayaka, meaning to grant. The third word is Papa, meaning sin. And the fourth word is Vinashaka, which means to destroy. So in this line, Buddhi Pradayaka, Papa Vinashaka, we bow reverentially to the Lord who alone can confer on us that discrimination, that higher intelligence, and help us destroy our sins. Let's move on to the sixth line.
Satya Sanatan Tum Ho.
Here the first word is Satya, meaning truth. The second word is Sanatana, that is timeless and eternal. Baba once declared, I am Satyasya Satyam. I am the truth of truths. Why has truth come on earth in human form? Baba said, the answer is to plant in the heart of man the yearning for truth, to place man on the road to truth, to help man to reach truth. And how? By loving instruction and by the final gift of illumination. That is the Satya Sai avatar. The third word is Tuma, meaning you, and the fourth word is Ho, meaning are. Thus in this line, Satya Sanatana Tumaho, we lovingly salute that timeless truth that embodied itself in the form of Satya Sai. Let's move on to the penultimate line.
Dinanath He Prabhu Parameshwar.
The first word here is Dinanath, coming from Dina, referring to those who are weak and forlorn. Natha refers to Lord or Master. The second word is He, which is a term used to endearingly call out to someone. The third word is Prabhu, which again means Lord or Master. The fourth word is Parameshwar, coming from Parama, meaning highest, and Ishwar, which means Lord. So in this line, Dinanath He, Prabhu Parameshwar, we call out to the Supreme Being who is the Lord of all those who are distressed and oppressed. He is the ultimate Savior. Let's move on to the last line.
Karuna Sagar Tum Ho.
The first word here is Karuna, meaning compassion, and the second word is Sagar, meaning ocean. Therefore, Karuna Sagar Tumaho, we glorify the Lord as the one who is the mighty ocean of love, the infinite reservoir of compassion.